Hello, friends. Hello, colleagues. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Platinum Business Break Podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 19. This is continuation of the way business should be. Today, we're diving into one of the most essential truths of business. Change is not just inevitable. It is the only constant. Whether you're a small business owner or you're leading a multinational corporation, your ability to adapt to change can make the difference between thriving and surviving, okay? And if you're watching this, you're probably watching on our YouTube channel, or you're listening on one of our many podcast channels. It's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Podcasts, all right? So we're going to kind of do a little self-promotion, shameless plug there for the podcast. And let's just jump in. So throughout this episode, we're going to explore why change is so important, the risk of ignoring it, and actionable steps you can take to make change part of your business DNA. So let's get started. All right. So I'm going to give you a quote. This is from a Greek philosopher, Heraclitus. And it is, and you probably heard this, the only constant in life is change. And look, we all know that's true in our personal lives, but in business, we should especially be sensitive to that. Here's a statistic I'm going to hit you with. 70% of companies globally are undergoing some form of digital transformation. That's according to IDC. Now, that's not surprising given, you know, technology and where we're at. Organizations that prioritize employee training to adapt to change are 58% more likely to hit their business targets. That's according to Deloitte. All right. So look, change is important. So let's think about Netflix for a moment. So they started out as a DVD rental service. Many of you probably remember this, where they're, you get online and you click all the movies you want, and depending on your subscription level, they would actually mail your DVD to you. That seems kind of crazy today, but back then, that was a big leap forward compared to going to where? Blockbuster, where you're going to Blockbuster, going to the video store, and actually renting a video. But they saw the writing on the wall, and I'm talking about Netflix, with streaming technology, and they pivoted. Pivot, right? And today, they are a global entertainment powerhouse. But on the flip side, we all know what happened to Blockbuster. Blockbuster resisted that same shift. And I'm going to talk about Blockbuster and Netflix here in just a little bit. Now, also another example of that is Amazon versus traditional bookstores like B. Dalton, Barnes & Noble, and Walden Books. Now, look, I love a bookstore, but Amazon did something. It brought lower cost, and it also, you could order it, and it's delivered right to your door. And they also have now the audiobooks. It's just amazing. So Amazon started out with a completely different philosophy, and just they pretty much are putting these brick and mortar bookstores out of business. But this isn't about companies. It's about change, and it's a change of your mindset, your strategy, and your business culture. So, a little personal story, about 15 years ago, my thoughts on social media were, this is a temporary, this is a fad, because think MySpace, MySpace kind of, came and went. Well, then there was Facebook, and then there was, Instagram, then Twitter, which is now X, and LinkedIn. And I thought, this was a fad. This was going to pass. Just pass and go do something different. But you know what? I was wrong. And I realized that about 15 years ago. And I think what happens is I did get complacent. I did get stagnant. And I think a lot of people, especially as, I was, late 40s, but I think people as early as 35, they start resisting that change because it just gets too hard. Okay. So, change is the only constant. Now let's talk about the reality of change in business. So here's a couple more stats. Again, if you know me, if you listen to this podcast, I love statistics. 70% of change initiatives fail due to resistance from employees. Now that's from McKinsey & Company. Resistance is futile, but guess what? If you work for a company and the employees don't embrace it, it's really, really, really hard. Now, and here's another statistic. Businesses that embrace innovation are 2 times more likely to achieve revenue growth above industry averages, and that's from a BCG report. So again, change has to happen. And what are some drivers of change? Because, you're bumping along and all of a sudden, you have to change. Again, from a personal standpoint, I wore the same, suit and shoes for almost 20 years. Why didn't I change? I don't know, because it's easy. It's safe. But then there was nothing driving me to change because I was, working, everything was going great, married, kids and all that. There's no need to change. But you know what though? My style was just stale. So there was no driver for change. But eventually I did. That's another story. But anyway, what are some drivers of change? Well, first of all, technology advancements. I mean, think about AI. I mean, automation, cloud computing, all that. AI is probably one of the biggest, you know, drivers of change that we've had. And think about social media. Think of COVID. When COVID hit, everyone was at home. All of a sudden, websites were popular again. You know, the growth of Amazon and other online companies. It was totally, you know, going to a restaurant, you couldn't go. So you ordered food and it was delivered to you, or you showed up at a, you know, the parking lot and they, you know, bring it out to your car wearing a mask. So technology advancements helped with that. You know, market dynamics, consumer expectations, globalization, just, you know, new entrants into the market, you know, competitors will shake things up. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit too. Regulatory shifts, compliance updates, sustainability goals. You know, it's an environmental thing now. You know, companies are really looking at changing their, you know, carbon footprint, all, you know, whether you believe that or not. You know, look, it's a good thing. Let's look at other energy sources, whether they work or not. At least let's try to change, right? Regulatory shifts. And then, you know, unexpected disruptions, like I mentioned, the pandemic, and then the supply chain issues, which, you know, from the COVID pandemic, really are still impacting us today. Now, one thing I noticed is right after COVID, it was hard to get an appliance for your house, you know, whether it's a stove or refrigerator, or microwave or dishwasher or whatever. You know, it's gotten better, and I've noticed that because I just bought some appliances that we've updated, and, you know, the cost has come down and they're available again. But supply chain issues, you know, that really can cause your business to change. But let's talk about some examples of company that embraced change. And the source of this, I got this from lightico.com. That's lightico.com. So again, Netflix. Not only did Netflix overcome change, but they defined an entirely new way to watch TV shows and movies. Unlike Blockbuster, Netflix recognized a gap in the online content and encapsulated it. They also survived a plunge in stock and subscriptions by transforming its content. And you know, Netflix has some of the hottest shows that people are binging on. I just got through with the Peaky Blinders. And again, that came out, you know, probably, you know, 2016. Wow, I found that. You know, the lead actor, Cillian Murphy, he was also Oppenheimer. Crazy good. Loved it. There's a movie coming out now. He's actually revisiting the character, but that's all from Netflix. And here's the thing too. Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix. A lot of people don't know that or understand that. They said, nah, never going to happen. People are always going to come to the brick and mortar, and they're always going to want to, you know, come and shop for videos. Well, they were wrong, and guess where they're at? They're out of business. They failed to change. All right, let's talk about Lego. Now, who remembers playing with Legos? I do. I, you know, had Legos when I was younger. Got even more popular after, you know, as I was an adult. You know, my kids loved Legos. But in the early 2000s, Mattel and Hasbro brought serious competition to Lego, causing them to be on the brink of bankruptcy. They kind of reinvented themselves. So they went from manufacturing something like 13,000 different, you know, parts and pieces down to 7,000. They simplified and actually were able to build more stuff with it. They expanded into other commerce areas, such as action figures, movies, and we've all seen the Batman, or if you've got kids, you've seen the Batman Lego movie, retail stores, video games, and they also partner with the school system, with public schools. In private schools too, you know, for different programs, building stuff using Lego. So that's pretty cool. So they changed, right? You get the theme here? We're still talking about change. All right, Domino's Pizza. And you go, what? What are you talking about Domino's Pizza? You know, what? There's nothing new. Oh yeah, there is a lot new, Domino's. So, you know, they're one of the main pizza chains that, you know, everyone enjoys. I like Domino's, you know, I like Almatra. You know, I can't eat it as much as I used to, but I, you know, love good pizza. But the main thing that sets Domino's apart today from their competition is the recent launch of the DRU, or the Domino Robotic Unit. Yeah, it's a robot that has the capability to deliver piping hot pizza and cold drinks straight to the doors of the hungry customers. While the technology is still in kind of the beginning stages, you know, they're still testing it out, it gives Domino's an advantage over you know, the change that's coming and that other pizza places and restaurants are going to face. For example, Walmart. You know, Walmart is doing drone delivery. Now where I live, in North Texas, I believe my Walmart or one of my local Walmarts will do drone delivery. We haven't tested or tried it. My wife and I have been talking about doing it. You have to have a spot in your backyard, you know, and I guess you have to put, you know, something out, and then the drone comes and drops it, flies off. be interesting to see, especially in Texas. I wonder how many drones are going to get shot down, but we will see. That's going to be interesting. All right, I know some people don't like that. It was just a joke. All right, so let's get back on track. But the main reason why change is so hard is that people are resistant to it, especially employees. In order to make the transition smoother, be sure to communicate all the reasons for the change and how it'll benefit everyone. So, you know, talk about some of these stories that I just mentioned, you know, whether it was, you know, Domino's or Blockbuster, Amazon. Or, I mean, look at Tesla. I mean, Tesla, there wasn't a new car company that came along and was really successful. I mean, they weren't internal, you know, combustion engine. You know, the styles, you know, it was kind of, to me, it was like you could have two or three colors and two or three styles, and that was it. But they did something that the other car companies just didn't want to do. Now, I don't know how you know, EV vehicles, you know, electric vehicles are going to end up. I think it, probably in my lifetime, there's always going to be, you know, gas power or internal combustion. But, you know, the fact is they made an impact on the auto industry, and they were a newcomer. They changed the way people thought about transportation. All right. So why do people resist change? Well, I think personally, you know, if you are still the same person you were 2 years ago, yeah, you're stagnating. You know, again, guilty as charged. I mentioned that. I mean, for, you know, 15, 20 years, I did the same things, had the same haircut style. You know, what I tried to do now is every, you know, year, every 18 months, every 2 years, I try to shake things up. Yeah, maybe it's a different haircut, look at a different, you know, dress a little bit differently, maybe change your workout routine, maybe change your diet. Go on vacation, different spot, you know, do something different, okay? But just try to change. But there is a cost of not changing, or what, you know, I call stagnation. And here's an interesting statistic. Now, this is from InnoSight. 52% of the Fortune 500 companies from the year 2000 are no longer on the list. Wow. Why is that? Because they failed to adapt or failed to change. Again, we mentioned Blockbuster. You know, Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix. They didn't do it. They're gone. All right. So Netflix is still, you know, in terms of they have provided the model for all the other streaming services, in my opinion, whether it was Disney or Paramount or you know, Max or Amazon. Even Amazon, you know, is now into the streaming service. You know, I think a lot of that is because of Netflix. All right. Let's talk about BlackBerry. Who remembers BlackBerry? At one point, there was over 80 million BlackBerry users in the world, including former President Barack Obama. Now, I think he got rid of his like in 2016. But why? What happened to BlackBerry? Well, they ignored touchscreen technology like Apple and some of the Windows-based you know, devices. All right, let's talk about Kodak and Polaroid. Now, you know, both film companies, I'm really going to talk about Kodak here, but it's applicable to Polaroid as well. So Kodak was founded in 1888, and they are the market leader in photographic film. And I think it's also film for movies, too. Now, they were famous for, if you remember, hey, it's a Kodak moment. Now, if you're over 50, you probably know that. You probably remember that commercial. And that was utilized everywhere. But you know what? They just didn't innovate. 1975, now think about this, in 1975, now we're thinking, you know, 80, 90, about 40 years ago, they developed the first digital camera, but they dropped it because they didn't want to cannibalize their photographic film juggernaut that they had built. Wow, what a huge misstep. That is just unbelievable. So Kodak, yeah, can you still get film? Yeah, do they still produce film for the motion picture industry? Yeah, but they're not what they used to be. Let's talk about Sears. Now, who remembers the Sears catalog? Yeah, I do, the Christmas catalog. That was like you would get that thing in the mail. It was, you know, this like a telephone book, and of course you went right for the toy section, but it was awesome. Sears was the place, and I think a JCPenney during that time. So back when I was growing up, that's where we got our clothes at Sears or JCPenney. You know, you could get appliances there, and Sears had Craftsman tools. But what had happened is in the, you know, kind of mid-80s to early 90s, JCPenney said, you know, we're going to kind of go more towards soft goods. We're going to get out of appliances. I mean, JCPenney's used to sell stereos and sporting goods. They said, I bought golf clubs at JCPenney's a long time ago. But they said, no, we're going to change. We're, you know, they got into makeup. I think some of the Ulta stores, makeup stores are inside of JCPenney. But Sears, nope, they kept doing what they were doing, and they bought Kmart, which was probably the kiss of death. You know, who remembers the blue light special? Well, guess what? You know, in 1989, you know, that's when Walmart kind of started taking over. And, you know, between Walmart and Target and a lot of the e-commerce giants, you know, recently, you know, Sears didn't do anything. You know, they stagnated, they declined, and guess what? They're out of business. Kmart and Sears are out of business. I believe in 2018 is when that happened, when the last stores closed up. It's sad, you know, because I remember going to Kmart, going to the Sears and getting you know, clothes for back to school or whatever. So Sears, they failed to innovate. They failed to change. All right, you get it? All right. Let's talk about the psychological effect. So I think another reason that people is besides the stagnation, it's, you know, again, this is more, I think, towards the personal side of change. You know, it's fear of the unknown, you know, comfort with the status quo. It's just easier to just keep doing what we've been doing. And especially if you're in a company, you know, when you have some change initiatives, especially a lot of your older employees, and guilty as charged, say, why do we have to change? Why do we have to do that? You know, it's, but guess what? You have to change, especially when it comes to technology, new software, new processes. You know, again, comfort with that status quo is really hard to let go. What are some of the consequences of that resistance? Is, you know, loss of that market relevance. Again, look at Blockbuster, look at Sears, look at the examples I just gave. And then you have declining morale and talent attrition. Now, think about that. I think if you're in the early 2000s and you're one of the, you know, Sears or Kmart employees just hanging in there, that, boy, that had to be tough. That had to be really tough. All right, let's talk about best practices for embracing change. So again, this is, you know, personal as well. So you got to develop a growth mindset, or if you're individual, a personal development mindset. Encourage a culture of curiosity and learning within your company. Here's a quote from Leo Biscaglia. He was like one of these self-help, you know, feel-good guys from the 70s or 80s. You know, he says, hey, change is the end result of all true learning. So learning something new. So again, as I said before, if you are the same person that you were 1 to 2 years ago, you're probably stagnating. It's time to do something different. It's time to shake it up. Your spouse would probably agree with you. I can see some people nodding. I can see some people getting really uncomfortable, but I think that is true. I think the other thing is you have to foster a change-ready culture. Okay, transparent communication about upcoming changes, involve employees early in the process. And I see that a lot with companies that I talk to and I work with is, you know, the leadership, the higher-ups, they're in these rooms, they got all these new plans and stuff. They never talk to the frontline people. They never talk to the team members. Now, part of it, I get that, is because they don't want your word to get out or whatever. But at the end of the day, the sooner you involve your team members, your employees, your team members, early in the process, the better change is going to be accepted. I've seen this a lot. All right. Next thing, leverage technology. You got to leverage technology. Again, like AI, right? We're talking about AI. Something as simple as a CRM. I can't tell you how many companies, they don't keep track of customer relationships. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of tribal knowledge. But if people start leaving, you know, all your baby boomers start leaving, a lot of that knowledge goes. If it's not captured in a CRM, That's a customer relationship management system, for those of you who don't know what that is. It's really important. Let's talk about leadership roles. Leaders must lead by example. They got to show willingness to embrace and adapt change, and they have to upskill and reskill. And again, your team has to upskill and reskill. How much training are you providing your team? Are you giving them the latest software, the latest technology? Or do they have all the tools they need? Because that's going to help with change as well. All right, last one, you know, look at your core values. As a company, is change part of your mission or core values? You know, adapting to change or embracing change. That's another thing that's got to become part of your business. All right, so what would be some next steps for your business to embrace change? Okay, first of all, doing a self-assessment, not only just to yourself, but to where your company is. Evaluate where your business stands in terms of change readiness. Like right now, if you had to switch suppliers, or if you had to get out of a market and attack a totally new market, how would that happen? You probably couldn't do it. You would probably be shaking in your boots. Okay, are you investing in emerging technologies? Are you using ChatGPT, or Microsoft has their version of it? Look, I'm telling you, a lot of people are getting weird about it. You know, artificial intelligence, you know, we've all seen Terminator. That's baloney. That's not happening. Look, I use it. I use it a lot. I'm telling you, it makes you more productive. It is not a crutch, it is a tool, right? So provide that for your employees. And also, when you're talking about changes, how often are you updating your business strategy? I talk to a lot of especially smaller businesses. They're not using social media. And they could use organic social media. It's organic means free, and it can have an immediate impact on their business, but they're not doing it, okay? So how often are you looking at your business strategy and what you're going to do to get more customers in your door? The other thing is you have to have a change management plan. You have to have an emergency plan ready. Define some clear goals and objectives and allocate resources for implementation. How about if we had another COVID outbreak or something like that? Okay, in other words, get prepared for change because it's going to happen. It's going to be forced upon you whether you want to or not. The other thing is celebrate the small wins. So when you start a change initiative and you start doing some new program, new product, and you get wins, you've got to celebrate because that's going to help employees embrace that change. And last thing is stay agile. Okay, regularly review and adjust your strategy based on feedback and results as you change, as you need to add new things or add new products and services. Listen, I mean, this is, again, I think this is hard not only just for businesses, but it's hard for individuals. But change is the only constant, all right? So the sooner that you embrace it, it's going to make life better. And I'm telling you, this is from personal experience. I can tell you probably within the last 15 years, I'm on the lookout for change. And I know some of you go, man, that's kind of sick. But, you know, to me, change is exciting. And a lot of good things. I mean, I've grown so much personally and professionally, because of looking for change opportunities. Again, I'm not saying, hey, I'm just going to go skydiving tomorrow. Nothing crazy like that. But if I see something that piques my interest and really have an open mind or just keep my curiosity, I think that's the thing. I think if you stay curious, change is easy. But when you quit being curious, that's when this is the way we used to do it. We're not changing. We're not doing it, and you're going to be in trouble. So anyway, that's my message. Again, a little shorter episode, but change is the only constant. And if you like this episode, Platinum Business Break Podcast, hey, follow us, like us, share us. Hey, I got a lot of other episodes on whether it's YouTube or on one of the podcasting services like Spotify or iHeartRadio or Amazon Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. A lot of the episodes are on there. And again, this is part of my way business should be, manifesto. And I'm not going to tell you about that on this podcast. You can look back at earlier ones. But I believe change and change philosophy, change management, change readiness should be part of a business's, their DNA. Now, that's how business should be. That's just my opinion based on experience and the successful companies that I've seen and worked with. All right, that's all I got. So anyway, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And hey, we will see you next time.